Time for another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92, and we're going to travel over to Montevideo to CCM Health and visit with Cassie Sunstegard. Sunstegard, right, Cassie?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, I pronounced your last name correctly?
Yep, Sunstegard.
All right, good. Hey, welcome to the Wellness Wednesday, and appreciate your time here this morning.
Absolutely.
Cassie is a mental health professional at CCM Health, and we have a great subject to talk about. But before we talk about that subject, Cassie, why don't you introduce yourself to us, your family, education, where you grew up and stuff.
Okay. My name is Cassie Sunstegard. I am actually born and raised in Montevideo. I did my undergrad education at Carroll College in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and came back to the area, married my husband, and did grad school at St. Mary's in Minneapolis. I'm married to Tyler Sunstegard, who is a cattle rancher. He raises registered Red Angus cattle. Mm. And we have three kids. Sophie is 14, Lainey is 9, and Dylan is 7.
Wow. That keep busy mom then.
Very busy. Absolutely.
Okay. So you're a graduate of Montevideo High School?
I am, oh, yeah. Okay. 2003.
All right, awesome. So what got you interested in the field of mental health?
The mind has fascinated me, and just relationships and how people interact has always been very important to me. And I actually knew I wanted to be in mental health when I was in eighth or ninth grade. We got to do a couple psychology classes in high school with Sherry Coleman, and that really just, it kind of took off from there.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Great. And how long have you been with CCM Health?
I have been at CCM Health since November of last year.
Okay.
So still pretty new here. And prior to that, I worked at Woodland Centers for 15 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Cassie, tell our listeners what our subject is about today.
So I wanted to talk today about social media and its effects on mental health.
Okay. This is, everyone's ears just perked up because I think this is on everyone's mind dealing with social media.
Absolutely. It kind of has to be because it's at the forefront of everything we do in our lives.
All right. I'm just going to turn the floor over to you then, Cassie, and we'll talk to us about our social connection and social media stuff.
Okay. Well, I think we all know that social connection is very important for people's mental health. It's proven to improve stress, anxiety, and depression, as well as helping boost self-worth and providing joy and comfort, preventing loneliness, and also adding years to your life. Connection and companionship are needed for us to thrive, and this has been the case since the dawn of time. We've always needed connection to people, whether it was for survival, and just having good mental health and well-being.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you're talking about personal connection face-to-face?
Well, there's where things get interesting with the social media. face-to-face is definitely preferred. Face-to-face connection is proven to reduce heart disease, reduces risk of stroke, also loneliness is associated with higher risks of depression, anxiety, and suicide. So that interaction face-to-face is very important.
Okay.
People who do not have that tend to see issues with, like I said, depression, anxiety, high suicide rates, and just overall loneliness, which we know is not good.
Okay. Cassie, can you give us some statistics about mental health and social media use?
Yes. So first, like social connection and the importance of that, social isolation increases risks of premature death, and it actually rivals smoking, obesity, and physical inactivity.
Mm.
So that is something that I think is very surprising for people, that social isolation can be almost worse for you than smoking cigarettes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So statistics with mental health and social media use. Nearly 1 in 3 teen girls has seriously considered suicide in the past year. One in five teens identifying as LGBTQ+, they attempted suicide in that time as well. And between 2009 and 2019, depression rates doubled for all teens, and that was even before COVID-19. So we don't even have some of the up-to-date statistics. And what we're finding a lot of is that social media is a very easy access for people, and it's really detrimental to people's mental health, unfortunately. Okay. The things that we see, especially as women and young girls that we are looking at on social media, is, you know, models and thin people and people where, you know, you see filters. You know, how many pictures do you actually see nowadays that is the actual person and not a filter applied to it?
Mm-hmm.
And when you have these young kids who their brains are still developing, their frontal lobes are the last things to develop, which that's where we house impulsivity. So the ability to think through actions is the last thing to develop in the brain. And when you have that kind of stuff going on, and also having this pressure to look a certain way, act a certain way, have certain things, that is very, very difficult for kids and also adults.
Right, right.
Yeah.
How about social media use?
Yeah.
As far as time being spent on social media, do you have any stats about that?
Yes. So a research center found 69% of adults and 81% of teens in the United States use social media. The worldwide average social media use was 2 hours and 15 minutes a day.
Wow.
In the U.S., it was just slightly lower, 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Mm.
Facebook has 1.59 billion daily active users.
Billion.
Billion.
Wow.
Instagram, 500 million. YouTube, 2 billion users per month. Hmm. So we are spending a lot of time on social media.
Yeah.
Some studies that have been done, they actually, so when we think about, is social media really social? There was a study done where they had 120 college students who went on social media for 10 minutes and tracked what they did. 75% of them said they didn't think they actually socially interacted.
Hmm.
Yes.
That's a lot.
Yes, that is a lot. So a big piece of it depends on what kind of social media you're using and what is your goal for using the social media. Because you have things like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. Those are social networking sites. But how many people go on Facebook for a specific purpose rather than just scrolling?
Right.
So that's kind of where they've looked at things. So it's what is your purpose for social media? And that can really play a role on if it's a positive or negative in your life.
Okay. Cassie, so we know that we need social connection for our mental and physical health. How does social media play a role in this connection or lack thereof?
Right. So many people rely on social media to find connection, but people don't realize that social media can actually never replace that human connection, that in-person, face-to-face connection. Because when you have that, it triggers hormones that alleviate stress and make you feel happier, healthier, and more positive.
Mm-hmm.
So we need that in-person. But some people don't have that for whatever reason. It could be location. I mean, we're pretty rural out here. So finding connections to different groups can be tough. And some people, you know, especially since COVID, I think we're going to see a lot of new statistics coming out. Because I think a lot of people realized, hey, I don't actually have to go do certain things. I can just do everything online.
Okay.
But what they don't realize is the more you do that stuff online, the higher your depression, anxiety, and stress rates are.
Okay.
So social media actually activates the brain's reward center by releasing dopamine, and that's linked to pleasurable activities like eating food and social interaction. But it's also designed to be addictive,
mm-hmm.
which is something that is very important to think about.
Yeah.
Spending too much time on it can actually make you feel lonelier and more isolated. So the idea is that people need balance in your life. We need to have the in-person along with the social media. So some let's talk some good things about social media.
Okay.
Because there are some.
Yep, good.
yes, there are some.
All right.
So there are some positive aspects for social media as well. It allows people to communicate and stay up to date with family and friends. It allows people to find new friends and communities, join and promote worthwhile causes, offering emotional support. And especially where we are, it offers vital social connection if you live in a remote area or have limited independence or social anxiety. Young people can form and maintain friendships online. It creates a safe space for creativity and self-expression. And there's a lot that you can learn. So there are good aspects of it.
That's right. I got a personal story, Cassie. My 85-year-old aunt in Denver is on Facebook all the time. She's, you know, very can do that on her computer at home, and that's how she stays connected with me and my brothers and sisters and our family here in Minnesota. She's out in Colorado, and it's just been a blessing for her to see our pictures all the time. And you know, it's just been that's a really good positive thing for Facebook and social media, is that connection with my aunt.
Absolutely. It's very, very good for people to be able to connect that way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Signs that it might be creating issues, if you're neglecting face-to-face relationships, if you're being distracted from work or school because you're constantly checking your phone to see how many likes or comments you get, if you're feeling envious, angry, or depressed when you get off, or experiencing cyberbullying, which is really huge, that would be a sign that maybe you need to look at your social media use. So some ways to do that, one big thing, especially for parents, that I will say is you are the model for your children. So if they see you sitting on your phone when you're at the dinner table, they think, why can't I do that as well?
Right.
So a big piece of that is modeling what you want to see happen. Reducing your time online, they have apps that track how long you're spending online. So you can look at that and say, I want to reduce that by a certain amount. Focusing on turning off your phone on certain times of the day. Don't bring your phone or tablet to bed with you. That affects your sleep, which in turn affects mental health. Disabling social media notifications, so not getting notifications if somebody comments on a Facebook post or a Snapchat. Also, just trying to remove social media apps from your phone can be helpful. And some other things, changing your focus. Are you using social media as a substitute for real life? Are you an active user or a passive scroller? So just thinking about what your purpose is on social media can be really helpful and also help you reduce time.
Mm.
And spending time in person with people is really important, and we need to continue to do that.
Yeah, do more of that, I think.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. All right, Cassie, anything else you'd like to add? Great subject.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Mindful.
I need to make an appointment with you because I have a problem with social media.
Sounds good.
If someone's listening, how would someone contact you? How can they contact you about the subject?
Yes. You can call up to the clinic and speak to reception, and they will get you where you need to go if you need to set up a visit.
Okay. All right. Real good. Well, Cassie, thank you for joining us on Wellness Wednesday this morning. And this subject's right up my alley, you know, being in radio. I have different social media platforms. And, boy, I can, you know, I know I kind of got a problem. So I got to back off a little bit.
You know, I think we all do. Just
yeah.
As long as it's not substituting real life relationships, that's kind of the key.
That's right. All right. Thanks, Cassie. Hey, we got to talk again about this sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right. Cassie Sansegard, a mental health professional at CCM Health. And, of course, May is Mental Health Month. And this has been another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92.